All right, welcome back to the Brixton 81 podcast. I'm your host, Chris McGarahan Jr. So quarantine, day 100, 1,000 it feels like. I don't even know what day it is anymore. A lot of interesting things happening. All right, so we're going to talk about the UFC events that just concluded over the weekend. Dana White pulled off 3 events in 1 week, in a 7-day period. That's insane. And that's going to be a big gateway to other live sporting events, live music events, live any type of event. That's going to be a big opening, a big window, a very important catalyst. When we look back on this 5 years from now, that's going to be a big deal. So we'll touch on that. We'll touch on, and I'll even just open up with this, some of my quarantine experiences. I don't talk about the quarantine, I don't talk about the coronavirus a lot, and really ever publicly, simply because it's not my expertise. I don't do as much research, I don't do as much studying as other people. What I look at is, okay, we got this thing going on, call it what you will, but we got this thing going on. What am I allowed to do within the government guidelines? Now, if other people are on the front line arguing it and debating it and petitioning it, that's one thing. I'm not going to do that. That's just not me. That's not what I'm going to spend my time doing. If that's you, fantastic. We need you. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to look at where's the opportunity. What can I do with this? What can I not do with this? And then I'm going to do my thing, right? But in this, you know, one thing that I think everyone can agree with is we've been forced to spend a lot of time at home. Now, in my specific situation, I'm married. I've got a wife. We've been married for about 6 years, 5 or 6 years. We've got 2 children, 2 daughters. Oldest daughter is Angela. The other one is Juliana. And then we got a dog last year named Tyson, named after Mike Tyson and Tyson Fury. Right, so I got this little unit, this little gang going on. And since I was 19 years old, I've committed my entire life to business, to being an entrepreneur. Whether that be from just studying, what is business? What are net margins? What is gross profit? What do you mean I have to pay taxes on this? What does this mean? How do I buy products? How do I sell products? How do I set up a website? How do I do this? How do I market? How do I advertise? What's an ROI? Stuff I didn't look, I just didn't know any of this stuff. So whether it's from learning to actual execution and being a practitioner, you know, going into people's homes when I was 21 years old and selling energy drinks, that was my first business. Venturing from there and starting a consulting business, I did pretty well at selling energy drinks. I said, hey, maybe other people want to learn how to sell things. So I did that. That went pretty well. That was actually a very successful business as well. Then I, you know, dabbled in a few things, tried to see what I'd be passionate about, and eventually Brixton 81 came. And that was my passion, the most passionate business I've ever been involved with. And a very exciting business at that. And so, you know, fast forward 9 years later, and I've really never taken a break. You can ask Cynthia, if my wife. Even if we go on a vacation or a trip, you know, my brain goes, all right, we live in Las Vegas. Okay, we're going to the beach in California for a week. What meetings can I set up while I'm there? We're going to Los Angeles. What meetings can I set up while we're in Los Angeles? And by the way, I'm not saying this is good. I'm not saying this is bad. This is just I'm that committed to my craft that I've really never taken a break. More than 2 days. It's just never happened. And even if it was a break, I was still thinking or stressing or analyzing or breaking down or planning something in my brain, right? So I never took a break. This quarantine has given us all lots of time. And in the first week, I mean, I was bouncing off the walls. I was like, what are we gonna do today? Nothing, we can't go anywhere, Chris. That's what Cynthia would say. But what do I do? What do I do? And you know, in business, when there's an economic collapse like we have right now, there's no money circulating. It's not that I was stressed about money, it's I always want to do something. I can't sit still. So the first week was very difficult. Then the second week, and business is still very, very good. I'm very fortunate, very blessed about that because I don't do brick and mortar business. You know, I don't rent an office or a salon or a retail space for, you know, $10,000 a month with a 5-year or 10-year lease. I don't do that. I focus on e-commerce. I focus on the internet. I focus on social media. That's what I focus on and build my business on, because I'm a hustler at the end of the day. So I'm not gonna go invest money to start a business. I'm gonna do it with my own money. I'm not gonna raise capital. I'm not gonna put it on a credit card. I'm not gonna do all that stuff. Though I'm not against it, but the situation I was in when I started business, that wasn't what I was taught. That wasn't the circumstances I was in. You know, I'm a hustler from the ground up. So I was fortunate in that, like, I didn't have crazy overhead, very, very small overhead, virtually no overhead in my business, just inventory. And I had inventory. So now it's just marketing. Okay, that's simple. So I'm very, very fortunate, very blessed about that. But what I was able to do during this quarantine is spend a lot of time with my family, my wife and my two daughters. And I mean, like, real time where I'm not stressed about business. I'm not stressed about negotiating with the supplier. I'm not stressed about where is my order? Where is this? Where did that package get out on time? What about this? What about that? Oh, why did the website crash? What about this? What about that? How do we drive down shipping costs? How do we get our price per unit different? How do we do this? How do we do that? What's the new product coming out? What about this? We have to think 6 months into the future. I mean, that's how my brain was going all the time. Quarantine forced me to take a break, and I learned something. And if you're like a young single man, or, you know, I say single, even if you have, you know, a girlfriend, but if you're not married, if you're not seriously committed, you're still single, because you can break up at any time and it's all good. So I hope this helps. I've learned in this quarantine that, man, the best decision I ever made was choosing Cynthia to be my ride or die. Here's why. Because I hear a lot of these stories of men and women being stuck in the house together during this quarantine, and they're going crazy. A lot of domestic violence, domestic abuse, a lot of arguments, and I think we'll see after the quarantine, a lot of divorce will happen. For us, it's been totally different. It's been like rainbows and butterflies. It's been so easy. It's been so cool. It's been so fun. Obviously, it's stressful because you have two kids. You got to entertain them. They're bouncing off the walls like pinballs all day. So that's a little intense. I love them to death, but sometimes I'm like, dude, just sit down and watch Frozen for the 19th time today. Stop fighting each other all the time. But aside from that, it has been incredible. And I was thinking, man, why are people, because I would hear these stories of people saying, you know, oh man, my wife's driving me crazy, or I'm going crazy stuck in the house with this person and that person, blah, 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 blah. And I was thinking, man, why is it that I'm having such an easy time? I mean, this is not hard for me at all. What's hard for me is I like business. I like working. And that's obviously changed and will be changed for a long time. Just because of the economics of it all. Even if they open everything up, there's going to be so many new rules that, you know, we're going to have to adjust. But I thought, why are people having such a difficult time? Now, I'm not a relationship expert, but I think it comes down to this. And it's not just in relationships. I think this is in business. I think this is in your job. I think this is in your health. I think this is in everything you do in life. Your mental clarity, your mental health. I think this is everything. With very little exception. Very little exception. Life-changing diseases, tragic accidents, so on and so forth. But virtually everything in your life, from the time you wake up to what you eat, to what you say, to what you do, to where you work, is your fault. It's your fault. It's your decision. No one forced you to start that business. People may have suggested, people may have sold you, but no one forced you to start a business. No one forced you, at least in the Western world. I'm not sure how it works globally, but no one forced you to marry that girl or to go out with that girl. Take it a step further. No one forced you to have babies with that girl, to sleep with that girl. No one forced you to. This was your fault. You did this. My favorite quote of all time. I'm a very like disciplined, self-aware, very internally intense. I do not take it easy on myself. With myself. With others, I'm pretty easygoing. Do whatever you want. But with myself, I'm pretty hardcore. You know, I keep it real with myself. And my favorite line is, leaders don't always make the best decisions. Or they don't always make the right decisions. Leaders just make decisions, then they go forward making sure that they were the right ones. Think about that. Leaders don't always make the right decisions. They just make decisions. Then they go on making sure that those decisions were the right ones. No one forced you to have sex with that girl. No one forced you to marry that girl. No one forced you to start that business. No one forced you. And by the way, your parents are on this list. No one forced you, meaning they tied you up, locked you in a basement, and beat you to death to make you go to college and get that job that you don't like. No one forced you to do any of this. The only thing that's forced, you gotta pay taxes. But aside from that, no one forced you to do any of this stuff. You did it. You made the decision. So go on and make sure it was the right one. So with my wife, Cynthia, that's been my whole attitude. No one forced me. Now, obviously, you look at my wife, Cynthia, she's beautiful. Her job is to be beautiful, right? So people might say, oh, dude, you're lucky. Yeah, you're lucky you're saying that. Yeah, but when you're stuck with somebody, when you're with somebody, locked in a house with somebody, the whole beauty thing could go away pretty quick. You don't start saying, oh, look how hot she is. Now you start looking at their traits, their characteristics, right? So you gotta start thinking, hey man, I'm the one who made this decision to be with this person. I'm gonna make it right. Now that little devil on one shoulder saying, yeah, but she's not reciprocating. She's not playing ball with you. She's not helping you. She had a bad, hey man, control you. Control you first. All right? You have the good attitude. You're the leader. A leader doesn't say, yeah, but what about the other leaders? No, a leader says, I'm the leader. You're the leader. You make it right. What do we need to do to make this better? What do we need to do to work on? What can I sacrifice? Not what do I need to. What can I sacrifice to make this situation better? Not just make it all right, not just to fix it. I mean, make it better, make it amazing, make it perfect. And by the way, I tell Cynthia that all the time. If we have a disagreement about something, which is going to happen when you live with people, and you're raising human beings, and you've got a dog in the mix, and there's quarantines, you're going to have some type of disagreement. When it happens, I go, what can I do to make it better? What can I do to make this whole situation perfect? Why? Because I'm not focused on, yeah, but that's not fair to me. Life isn't fair. I'm not worried about fair. I'm worried about results. What can I do to make my situation, the decision, by the way, that I made this situation. No one forced me to do this. I made this situation when I was 23. I decided to get married. I decided to have a baby right after that. I decided to have another baby after that, and I decided to buy a dog. And by the way, in the middle of being an entrepreneur, where there's no guarantees ever, I decided this. So, going back to my point, being in quarantine, I hear these stories of people complaining and being miserable in their situations. Like, hey man, you did this. Now, I have sympathy for certain people, single mothers, who the dad just bailed on them. He got them pregnant a couple times, he couldn't take the heat, and he bounced on them. Now you got this woman who probably isn't making that much money at her job, has to get a second job, has to drive Uber, hustle, while taking care of three kids. Now the three kids aren't in school, and one of her jobs at the restaurant closed, so she can't make as much money. I have sympathy for that person, because that wasn't a decision. It was a decision to sleep with that guy. It was a decision to go to the club that one night. That was a decision. But I do have sympathy. I'm not obviously a heartless human being. But when you look internally, for most of us, the situation we're in is because of us. And if you don't like it, then fix it. Don't run, don't cry, don't complain. Don't woe is me. You did it. not in the shape you don't want to be in, or you're not in the shape you want to be in, excuse me, maybe you're 50 pounds overweight, get in shape. Get in shape. I'll tell you what, vegetables are not that expensive. They're not. Fruit isn't that expensive. It's not. Water ain't that expensive. Chris, I don't have a gym membership. Going for a run ain't that expensive. Doing jumping jacks ain't. Make it work. Just make it work. Business, no one forced you to start a business. No one did. That was you. You had a dream, you had an aspiration, you had hopes, you had desires. You started a business. No one forced you to do that. No one forced you to buy those products. No one forced you to rent out that office. You did that. No one forced you to choose your business partners. You did it. Make it work. And sometimes it can't work. Sometimes it can't work. When it can't work, and you get to that point, make sure you've tried and exhausted every single option before you got to that point. That's just my advice. That's how I think. And that's why I think my quarantine is going pretty well. Because, you know, financially, we're okay. We don't have to stress about money, which we're very fortunate about. And that's because I'm pretty financially disciplined. I'm not a lavish spender. I don't have crazy overheads in my business. I don't go nuts renting things and leasing things and buying things I can't afford. I don't go crazy doing any of that stuff. So I'm in the situation I'm in. And with the attitude I've had, here's what's happened during my quarantine. And I say this to hopefully inspire, because I know some of you are going down a really, really weird path during this quarantine. So here's what I do. I wake up every morning. I don't wake up as early anymore because my schedule isn't as busy. So I used to wake up about 5 in the morning. I don't do that right now. I will do that when things start to pick up more because I need more hours in the day. Right now I don't need to. So I wake up about 6:30 or 7, so I get a little bit more sleep. Have my coffee, talk to my wife and kids, and I exercise. I am in the best shape of my life right now. The best shape of my life right now. Reason being is I have time to exercise. Before I didn't. When you're running the business, you don't have a lot of time and you're stressed. Your mind isn't like, oh, let's go for a run, let's go box, let's go lift some weights. Because you want to solve a problem. You want to execute. You want to take action on your brand. So you don't want to exercise. It's a weird contrast. So I would exercise somewhat frequently, but not enough. I knew I could do more. So now I'm in the best shape I've ever been in my life. I'm in incredible shape. My house, I'm getting so much stuff done around the house. I'm staining brick walls in the backyard. I'm repainting a pavement that we have. I'm painting the ground, making that look fresh. I'm fixing the backyard and the landscaping. I'm trimming a giant 16-foot tree that we have outside. I'm painting and redecorating bathrooms. I'm reorganizing garages. All of this stuff doesn't require a lot of money. It's just effort. I'm getting sweaty. I'm getting dirty at the end of the day. I'm exhausted. That's my work for the most part. I do some business as much as I can during the quarantine. Then I do that stuff and I work around the house. I get stuff done because when the world opens back up, I want all that to be done so I can get back to my hustle. So, and then at the end of the day, I spend uninterrupted time with Cynthia and my daughters, my ladies, my girls. Uninterrupted. And by the way, my diet, I don't diet. I eat corn dogs. I drink alcohol. I have quesadillas. Make no mistake, I eat vegetables and fruits and all that stuff. But I'm saying, like, I don't have a diet. I eat what I want, whatever's there. Whatever they don't eat at the end of the day, my family, that's what I eat. Whatever's left. So, and I can exercise hard the next day and burn the calories and sweat anything out that I need to. And again, I'm in the best shape of my life. So that's my quarantine mindset. I don't know if I'll ever touch on the disease itself or the politics of opening or reopening or anything like that. I won't touch on that. I'll just touch on the circumstances we're in. What can we do about it? And it all starts with you. You're the leader of you. You may not be the leader of the United States. You may not be the leader of the world. You may not even be the leader of your city, right? You're the leader of you. And, you know, especially if you're a man with a family, you're the leader of that family. You got to protect them if anything happens. You got to put food on the table. You got to provide. You got to make sure that there's a leveled energy in the house. You're the foundation, man. So during this quarantine, make sure you don't get in terrible habits. Make sure you're getting some stuff done. Make sure you're just not waiting for this to end. Be constructive. Be positive. Get after it. So when it opens up, man, you can slide back into your hustle. You can slide back into your routine like nothing ever changed, because you still had that level of energy. The schedule, the activity may have changed, but the energy didn't, right? Now let's talk about the UFC. UFC just concluded, and this can tie into the quarantine as well. Dana White pulled off 3 events in 7 days. So last Saturday, UFC 249, Ferguson versus Gaethje. Then on Wednesday, he did another card in that same venue in Florida. Anthony Smith versus Glover Teixeira. Then a few days later, the Saturday we just had a couple days ago, he did Walt Harris? Yeah. Versus Alistair Overeem. Now the fights themselves, like the Overeem, Alistair Overeem, and Walt Harris fight was a little bit heartbreaking because the Walt Harris story, you know, of his daughter, I think it's his stepdaughter technically, that, it's a little emotional, that, you know, went missing, they end up finding remains of the body, 19-year-old girl in, I think, Auburn, and, got kidnapped, and just a terrible, and killed, and just a terrible story. So it was his first time coming back. You'd really like to see him win, and unfortunately for him, Overeem was just too good, too much for him, and Overeem got the win. So that was tough. The event before that, Glover Teixeira, Anthony Smith, that was nuts. That was a wild fight. Glover Teixeira looked incredible. But let's talk on the sport itself. What that meant, Dana White opening the event, what did that mean for the world? Well, keep in mind, there's been no sporting events for months. So, at least in the United States, I think maybe in South Korea, they've dabbled with a few things. But in the United States, there's been no sports. Dana White just opened the window, opened the door to what is possible for professional sporting events. He said it was very expensive, and he said we're losing lots of money because there's no gate. The gate is when people come into that arena to watch a fight or to watch a sporting event, like a basketball game, football game, whatever it may be. You know, the ticket they buy, the popcorn they buy, the beer they buy, the merchandise they buy, that's the gate. That's the revenue. They don't have that, obviously. So it's very expensive because they're testing everybody, and it's very expensive because they're not making as much money. But Dana White just opened the door on what's possible for sports and leagues like the NBA, like the NHL, like the MLB, and then lastly, because at the end of the year, like professional football. Very, very big decision. I think in 5 or 10 years, when there's a documentary on all this, Dana White's going to be in that documentary because he led the way as what's possible, what we can do as far as, you know, those huge, huge sports. And by the way, I would throw live music events in that. Any type of live performance with thousands of people, stand-up comedy. He kind of opened the gates on saying, hey, we can't have fans right now, but we can still broadcast. And by the way, I thought watching the fights, make no mistake, when there's fans and it's an exciting fight, there's nothing like it. But I thought it was pretty crazy, that Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson fight, with no fans, when you could hear the leather hitting somebody in the head. You can't hear that when there's fans. It's too loud. There's, whatever, 15 or 20,000 people screaming, hooting, hollering, booing. When it's nobody in that arena, you can hear those punches totally different. So I wonder, in a NBA basketball game, when LeBron James and the Lakers are playing Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. I wonder, will you be able to hear, or how much, you will be, but how much of them talking, them communicating on court, how much are you going to be able to hear, and how cool is that going to be? Because those guys are screaming all game long. You just can't hear it from the broadcast because there's fans everywhere. However many fans the Staples Center holds, right? 20,000, 30,000. So you can't hear, but those guys are talking all the time. Hey, watch that screen, watch that pick, on your left, on your right, do this, do that, go over here, go over there. Hey, give me the ball, over here, pass. Like, I've sat close to some of those games before, and they don't shut up the whole time. You just can't hear it on TV. With no audience, with no attendance, no people, no fans, man, it's gonna be pretty crazy to hear LeBron yelling at his teammates, go here, go there. It's gonna be pretty crazy to hear Patrick Beverly talking smack to somebody. It's gonna be pretty crazy to hear Russell Westbrook, and it's gonna be sick, man. So, though the fans is obviously an electric atmosphere, especially during playoffs, it's still like they're still gold, and I think that's gonna be very unique to watch. We've never seen anything like that before. So Dana opened this whole thing up as far as, hey, you can do it with no fans. Hey, you can broadcast it a certain way. You can test everybody very certain way. You can do this. You can pull this off. It's tough. It's expensive. You don't make as much money, but you can do it. And now I think you'll start seeing businesses like those sports teams or like concert venues or any type of entrepreneur. I think you're going to start seeing a lot of creativity on what within the guidelines, what we're legally allowed to do right now. You're going to start seeing some interesting plays. And I think this is going to change the landscape of business forever. Forever meaning, I think you're going to see very lean business from this point forward. You're not going to see people doing crazy contracts that are 10 years and with no coronavirus stipulation. No, you're going to see lean business. Hey, if there's a global shutdown, we can't pay you. That's in the contract. Hey, if the economy shuts down because the government says people can't come to my restaurant for no reason to mind, they just can't go to any restaurant, stipulation in my contract, you can't sue me if I don't pay you the rent. Like, this is gonna change business forever. And someone, probably Jeff Bezos, is gonna capitalize on it. Whether it's, you know, he's gonna buy all the commercial real estate because people aren't gonna wanna lease commercial real estate, I think, after this, because they're gonna say, hey, if this happens again next year, I'm on the hook for 10 grand a month. I don't want to be, so I'm gonna make my business more lean. I'm not gonna go commercial. And I think a lot of commercial real estate is gonna open up. I think Jeff Bezos is gonna come in, buy all of it. He's gonna make little Amazon pop-up stores, and again, he's gonna get to $1 trillion. So that's my prediction on the coronavirus and the economy and the boss moves that people are making. Okay, so you guys, in closing, I hope my rant on the quarantine and the mindset I think is healthy to have during it. I hope that helped. I hope I didn't offend. I hope I inspired, because that's my intention. I have no reason to want to hurt anyone's feelings. I just know for me, tough love and keeping it real is always the best point of view, the best option, the best path to take. Sometimes it hurts, but when you hit it on the head and you do the right thing, it feels tremendous. Right, so I do hope that you were inspired by that. And then second, you know, I hope you're excited, because Dana White just made some serious moves. It's going to change the landscape of business during the quarantine and probably forever. So stay tuned and let's see what happens. But in closing, guys, thank you so much for watching. I appreciate your time as always. If you haven't already, visit Brixton81.com. Pick up a watch. Everything we're doing is very safe. It's very protocol as far as cleanliness and sterilizing everything and making sure that everything's aligned with the quarantine protocol and the quarantine rules to go to your doorstep, so you're safe and sound, but at least you got a fresh new watch on. So visit Brixton81.com, get yours today, and always remember the Brixton 81 mantra. That is, the attitude is everything. All right, so have an amazing rest of your week. I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care. Chris McGarry Hand Jr. signing out.